In today's gospel, Christ urges us to look at the fruits of our lives are producing. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good. But an evil person, out of the store of evil, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was first ordained as auxiliary bishop of the diocese, I took up residence at the rectory of St. Joseph Cathedral Parish in Manchester. And I would help out in the parish from time to time. When I didn't have a diocesan responsibility, sometimes I'd say Sunday Mass there or weekday Mass or hear confessions or something like that. And it was there that I got to know Richard Mathewson. Now, Richard is some years dead, but in those days, he was pretty well known around the cathedral parish. Richard was a special person. He had some kind of learning disability, some physical disabilities. He walked with kind of a unique gait, had very poor eyesight. When he talked to you, he had kind of a sing-song, high-pitched voice. But Richard was able to take care of himself. He lived alone in a little apartment. He had some kind of subsidy from the state to allow make that possible. He was checked in on from time to time by a social worker, but he was able to make it on his own. And Richard spent a lot of his time each day going from church to church in the city. You'd see him at the 7 a.m. morning mass at the cathedral. Then he'd get on his little tricycle, he had a little tricycle, and he'd cycle over to St. George Church for the 8:30 mass over there. He'd get on his cycle and you'd see him someplace else later on in the morning. Very pious little guy with his own limitations. But one Sunday, I was celebrating mass at the cathedral. The big high mass, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, the church was pretty well crowded. And there was Richard sitting in his usual place, front row on the right, first seat in the front row. There he was, kneeling there with his missalette up in front of his face because, again, with his poor eyesight, he'd be following everything really up close. And it happened right after the consecration of the mass. I consecrated the bread and wine into the body and blood of the Lord. And as I'm continuing on with the Eucharistic prayer, I see Richard's missalette start to shake. Starts to shake. And I said, "Oh my God, he's having a stroke." But he put the missalette down, I realized what was happening. He was building up to a sneeze. He was building up to a whopper. So you could see him go, and all of a sudden out it came, "Achoo!" A second one, achoo! Of course, everybody in the cathedral knows who he is, and they're kind of chuckling to themselves. But it gets better. Thinking about it, after a couple seconds, Richard stands up. Everybody else is kneeling down, of course. He stands up, turns around to the whole cathedral and says, "Excuse me. Excuse me." Everybody, I had to bite my veins out to keep from laughing at the altar, But, the thing that reminded me of this today is that Richard's heart was pure. He might have been lacking in manners or propriety, not knowing exactly what to do, but his heart was pure. What he did was came from a pure heart. Another time, I'm hearing confessions, and in the cathedral chapel, it's the old confessionals. You have two sides, and the little door between the sides. And so I'm kneeling there, going back and forth. So I slide open the little grate on one side, and there's a curtain there, hanging there, of course, and nothing. So I said, "You can start now." Nothing. I said, "Well, okay, you can begin." All of a sudden, a hand pulls the curtain aside, and I see this man kneeling there, and standing right behind him is Richard. And Richard says, "This is Harold. Harold can't talk, and he can't hear very well, but he wants to go to confession." I thought, this will be good, So I said, "Well, Richard, you tell Harold that I'm going to forgive him all his sins." And I gave him absolution, and off they both went, happy as clams. But see, there was Richard, knowing or thinking that Harold needed to go to confession, and out of the goodness of his heart, he was going to spiritually help him, brought him the whole thing. See, Richard was a good example of what the Lord is teaching us in the gospel today. Out of the goodness of our heart come good deeds. Our heart expresses itself in what we do or what we don't do, or what we do good or what we do badly. The fruit of our lives shows what's in our hearts. That's a very important thing for us to consider as we come right to the beginning of the season of Lent on Wednesday. Lent is, before anything else, a time for you and me to look at our hearts and ask, what kind of fruit are our lives producing? What's coming out of our hearts? Remember that parable that Jesus tells about the sower going out and sowing seed? Some of the seed falls on rocky ground and it can't grow, and some of it falls among brambles and it's snuffed out. Some of it falls on good ground and produces a lot of good fruit. And whenever we hear that parable, I suspect for most of us the temptation is to ask, what kind of soil am I? Am I good soil or not? And maybe that's the wrong question. The question maybe should be this: how many kinds of soil are in my heart? There is good soil in my heart. I produce good fruit. But there's still also some brambles in there, places where my life isn't really conformed yet to the Lord. And I don't produce good fruit there. Lent should begin with a good examination of conscience. Where in my life am I not producing the fruit the Lord wants me to produce? And how do I change that? Because you see, Lent is not, first of all, a time to be sorry for our sins. It is that, after a good examination of conscience. But if we're really sorry, that should lead us to change. Without change, sorrow doesn't amount to anything. If a spouse, for example, a husband and wife, if they have a disagreement, maybe one party's done something to offend the other, and one party says, "I'm sorry." So the spouse forgives. But if that keeps happening over and over and over again in the same way, there's no change, what is the real sorrow? Sorrow requires change. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul shares with us there a list of what he calls the works of the flesh. We have to be careful when we hear that word flesh. When we think of the word flesh in English, tends to, in our own vernacular anyway, tends to mean something to do with sexual sins. But for St. Paul, flesh is much broader than that. The flesh for St. Paul is anything in our lives contrary to the gospel. Anything in our lives contrary to the kingdom of God, that's works of the flesh. Listen to what he says. The works of the flesh are these: immorality, idolatry, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, selfishness, envy, drinking bouts, and the like. Those are all works of the flesh. They come from a heart that is not yet totally given to Christ. So maybe during the beginning of Lent and during Lent, we should be asking ourselves, you know, am I still producing works of the flesh in my life? And if so, how do I change that? How do I change it? Because if I don't change, what good is my sorrow? For example, suppose looking at those works of the flesh, you conclude honestly before God that you tend to be selfish. You tend, perhaps, not to share with those really in need any of your material goods. So you say, well, what are you going to do with that if you see that in your life? How do you change that? See, the penances that we adopt during Lent should be geared to change the areas that need to be changed. So if you're selfish and you say, well, this Lent, what am I going to do? I think I'm going to give up candy again for the 55th straight year. Well, okay. How does giving up candy during Lent help you to be less selfish? Unless, let's say you had a Snickers bar every day during, that's your normal routine. You have Snickers at lunch every day. What's a Snickers bar cost? A buck and a quarter, something like that? Suppose you give up your Snickers bar during Lent, and you take the $1.25 you're saving, and at the end of Lent you give that to the poor. Then maybe you've done something to address your selfishness. Just to give up the candy bar by itself doesn't go far enough. You know, one of the practices we've done for Lent for many years is the rice bowl. You see those out in the gathering space. You know, the rice bowl is you take it and put it on your kitchen table or your mantle, and the idea is that whatever sacrifices you make during Lent, you put the money in there, bring it in at the end of Lent. You know what I think most of us tend to do? I include myself in this. Come the end of Lent, you say, oh my God, I didn't do anything with the rice bowl. So you write a check out for whatever, put it in the rice bowl and bring it in. Well, that's good, but that's not what the rice bowl is supposed to do. Ideally, here's what the rice bowl is supposed to do. Every Friday during the year, you go out on Friday night and have a nice meal. During Lent, you don't. And you take the money you save by not going out for the good meal, you put that in the rice bowl. You bring that in. See, that sacrifice that leads to generosity, that then attacks selfishness. Anything less than that, we're not really addressing our selfishness. And I have to say in passing that those rice bowls this year, Catholic Relief Service rice bowls, are more important than ever. You know why? Because with the cuts that are being made by the government to USAID programs, a lot of the non-governmental organizations that took all of that food and everything don't have any food to take anymore. We got a letter. The bishops got a letter this week from the bishop who's in charge of CRS, Catholic Relief Services, to tell us that with what's going on, just to one example, 10,000 farmers in Guatemala will not have seeds to plant this year. 10,000 of them will not have seeds to plant because of those cuts. So, how do we make up for that? You know the answer. So as we gather here at the beginning of Lent, let's ask ourselves, what needs to be changed in my life? Where are the brambles in my heart not producing good fruit? And let me choose a penance that will allow me to change to become more what the Lord calls me to be. I conclude with an example from Scripture. Remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Little guy climbs up the tree to see Jesus. Jesus goes into his house. Now remember, Zacchaeus as a tax collector is a thief. That's the way the tax collectors got rich. They charged more than what they were supposed to. We don't know what went on in the house. Remember what happens at the end of it all, though? What does Zacchaeus say to Jesus? Lord, if I've defrauded anybody, I repay that person four times over. So Zacchaeus has changed. He's not going to be a thief anymore. I repay them four times over. Let's pray that you and I might use Lent that way. Change where we need to change. Begin producing good fruit where we haven't produced good fruit. Make our hearts more and more the good soil that shows us as true disciples of the kingdom of God. May God bless you.